Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your days are off to a great start. You got a lot to get to in the next 2 hours of radio. We have the Magic Hat coming up 1 hour from now.
You like your Magic Hat?
I love my Magic Hat, although I'm a little skittish currently because I sent three audio things for the Magic Hat, and now I don't know where my confidence level is that they're going to work.
Completely separate piece of real estate in our system. They're
Should we?
Fine.
Okay.
They're fine.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Take a play, and it's PJ Fleck.
I did not have PJ Fleck
rowing the boat
in my notes, man. Well, lots to get to this hour of radio. We may or may not have a guest in 3 minutes. I don't know, so we'll just kind of proceed as is. We'll see if somebody enters their phone, and if they do, we'll go from there.
Well, it's college football-based guest, and so it's all like kind of a roll of the dice at this point because he said yes, but we never got a confirmation on the time.
Yes, we asked if this time works, and then he did not respond to the text of this time working. He could be very busy. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
I know this is a fun time of year, I think, especially college football, right? Like, we're all pretty excited to have football back in our lives in a few
week
weeks.
Away from the first preseason NFL game, 1 week from tonight.
I don't want to think about that yet. I'm not ready to go there.
I'm jonesing for Panthers football.
I'm always a little like, oh, okay, when you get people that come out of the woodwork a little bit on this, and she's been related to the conference, but did you see Laura Rutledge on McAfee?
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes,
I didn't pull the audio, but she was basically talking about the SEC, and she said the competition within the SEC is so difficult that 9 games of craziness week in and week out, a little different than other parts, other conferences. Furthermore, they're gassed.
Can I ask a question, follow-up here? Laura
and
Rutledge, a.k.a. Brandon Sprague.
Laura Rutledge fan.
Big Laura Rutledge fan. She's also a big SEC gal. She's on the SEC Network.
Yep.
Quick follow-up, Laura.
Used to be.
Oh, is she not anymore?
I think she does just
NFL stuff.
Now,
I don't blame her there. How many seasons has the SEC played 9 conference games?
Like 2 or 3? I don't. Is it this is year one?
This is year one.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So how do we know what it's going to look like?
Well, the 8 games have been hard enough.
That was just a chuckle I had reading that of like, they've literally never done this.
Well,
so how do we know it's going to be the meat grinder that we all think it's going to be?
Because 8's been hard enough.
Okay.
Come on, Dirt.
They can't have a situation in the SEC like in the Big Ten where you randomly get Mississippi State, Arkansas, Kentucky. Who are the bad teams in the SEC and they all fall on your conference schedule for 1 year? It can't work that way as well where some team's going to get the benefit of an easier schedule. Come on, Laura.
I think
on air producing. Can't go right now. Maybe later in the show, I'm trying to see.
Well, I mean, it's not 9 o'clock.
Okay.
We're not bumping Magic Hat.
Magic Hat's too important. I got good stuff in the Magic Hat today.
Stuff to get to
today. We got TCB in it, right?
What I would say on what you're talking about, though, is my takeaway, and we have day 3 today. Jed Fish will talk. We'll have Cignetti. My takeaway so far 2 days in is how composed and non-combative the Big Ten has been to what the SEC just showed us last week.
Lanning had a couple of those. Somebody asked him on a breakaway interview, basically, what do you make of the SEC Big Ten debate? And he was like, well, how do you judge the best conference? And the person was like, national championship.
Yeah, but he also was complimentary in that answer. I heard that answer.
Yes, he was.
Petitti talked about trying to work with Sankey, how he thinks it's 24, and he wants to work with Greg Sankey, not we're running this S right now. You know, you had the Bielema thing, but he was also complimentary of the SEC, whereas the SEC's like, it's unfair. We're going to break away. None of this is right. Like, it just, that was my takeaway of SEC Media Day. And the Big Ten could have came in and just dunked on them.
Yeah.
And they've noted, like, yeah, we won the titles, but also they've been like, well, but they're great. And I trust our leaders. It's like,
it's easier to say that, too, when you have the upper hand in the debate, right? Because they have the position of leverage right now.
Well, they also know at any given season that could switch
right?
in a blink.
Like, how
of an
different
eye.
Is the messaging 3 years from now if we go Georgia, Texas, LSU win the next 3 national championships? Then it'll be all, SEC's the best conference. Look at us. Everybody kiss our feet. Look at it. We dominate the sport. And the Big Ten will try and make arguments about how good their conference is. I'm with you, though. That's a pretty tired old debate. I do. Let's have some fun with audio, and hopefully all the audio works. TBD on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a famous media personality going on a rant against a blue blood college football program.
It's a 2-minute clip. I loved it, and I actually look, it's performative.
Yes.
Found myself kind of going, I think he got me. I think he got me.
Anytime he rants on anything, I will listen. Now, the majority of them, you're like, oh, God, what are we doing right now? But I'm going to pop back on me. Everybody enjoy Doggy on Notre Dame.
Somewhere, George Gipper, Ronald Reagan, Johnny Lujak, Newt Rockne is sitting there saying, what? What are we doing? What, Notre Dame doesn't have enough money? Notre Dame prints money. They got the deal with NBC. It's Notre Dame. They got millions of alumni folks coming to their games on a week-to-week basis to see the grotto and, you know, Touchdown Jesus and all the, I think, and I had a kid who went there, so I went to all the games myself. The nonsense involved in, like, God wants Notre Dame to win football games? Really? But what Notre Dame is doing right now, what Notre Dame is doing right now with this patch with SoFi and getting $18 million. Let Ohio State do it. Who cares about Ohio State? Ohio State, nobody looks at Ohio. They're a football factory. We understand Ohio State. They're great, but it's a football factory. All right, that's what Ohio State is. They do things like that. Notre Dame, there's more of an accountability. It's the Fighting Irish. It's Newt Rockne. It's 1934. Again, it's Lujak. It's Lou Holtz. It's everybody. And to sit there, if I look at this, this is Notre Dame. This right here. This is Notre Dame football. The Newt. Look at Rockne, who died in that poor plane crash. Look at Rockne, the four horsemen of Notre Dame. This is Notre Dame, named by Grantland Rice, if you didn't know that. I don't know what that, forget what it's called. And look at him, yes, sir, the Gipper, Ronald Reagan. And they're going to sit there and wear that asinine SoFi patch because of a couple of dollars. I mean, you got, this is the same Notre Dame who did, there's the stupid patch, enough of the patch. The same Notre Dame that did nothing but scream and yell last year of how they got buried with the tournament committee not getting into the NCAA top 12, which they shouldn't have gotten in. The committee did a great job. They moaned and groaned about that, and so to pay us back, they're going to wear a patch and get paid $18 million. Give me a break. I'm embarrassed, and I had a daughter who went to Notre Dame, graduated magna cum laude.
Magna cum laude would be a great draft at the end. Yeah, it is hilarious that the Ohio State news broke a couple days ago that they were going to get the Chase sponsorship, and it was like $17, $18 million a year, and it was like, oh my God, that is a lot of money.
I'm actually going to defend something here at the end of what you're
saying.
Well, and
then SoFi jumped in. Notre Dame broke the record in like 4 hours. They got the SoFi patch on their jersey, and I think the report was 19 to 20 a year.
I think it's in that range.
Somewhere in that range where all the jerseys at Notre Dame Athletics will have that. Is that the most expensive one in college athletics?
Notre Dame?
Yeah, like of a jersey.
Yeah, I think it's at the record.
Will anybody top it, do you think?
I don't know if anybody will.
Because I don't know how many, like, does Alabama have
Michigan?
One?
Michigan has a lot of deep pockets.
Does Michigan have one yet? I don't know if I've seen the report.
I don't know. I enjoyed the jokes about Oregon's going to add the Nike swoosh. And
double swoosh.
Two swooshes.
Two swooshes on each side. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. You know, don't overlook Indiana, who suddenly has a lot of money because the donor base is massive.
Yeah.
I thought about this. I do enjoy it. There is a sacred nature of sports jerseys. I logically understand business and why we do this in sports in all leagues.
$20 million is $20 million.
I also find myself being a little bit of a traditionalist and wish our jerseys didn't have patches. I have a Dame Lillard Blazer jersey that's forever going to have BioFreeze on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that, right? Like, NASCAR has been doing it for years, but this is different. All jokes aside, I thought about this. We've given a lot of grief to the Big 12. Why did we do that?
The Monster Energy $20 million deal.
So I was really thinking, every conference has their conference logo on their jerseys. The Pac-12 is going to have one on Oregon State's.
Yep.
The Big 10 has one.
BYG.
SEC. If you think about the deal the Big 12 got, I don't know. I don't think it's a great deal because of the amount of branding they're getting out of that price. But it's not really what we made it out to be if you think about it. You're already going to have the Big 12 logo on your jersey, correct?
Yes.
Now you're just adding the three swoosh or three stripe monster thing next to it. It's still the same patch. It's just slightly bigger. You can still go sell.
Is that how they're doing it with the patch?
That's what they're doing. It's so if you look in the basketball courts, have this on the courts now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was Kansas. I saw a photo. Kansas has this. Where the Big Ten logo was on Kansas's court, it's that, but it's just got the Monster logo adjacent next to it.
So just in the mix of the conference logo.
So wherever the patch is for the Big 12 jersey.
Got it. So you could double dip the chip technically.
You can
and
still
sell
double
dip.
You've just gotten an extra million. Now, right. It's still a low price point for a whole conference. True. You can still go sell your university, get a SoFi-like patch for fill in the blank for, let's see, BYU. BYU could go get $8 million for their own.
Right.
You still have the Monster Energy Big 12 logo.
That makes sense. I didn't think about it in that way.
It's not like SoFi's
That's the
patch.
Jersey patch for every jersey, and that's the only one you can have.
You can still go sell another patch.
Yeah, this is I'm with you. The conundrum of the finances, I understand. How do I tell them to say no to $20 million a year?
They're always looking for more money.
Right. What's Notre Dame's TV payout every year?
I don't know, but they have NBC's their network.
I know. They have their own network every year. I don't know if it's on the level of the SEC and the Big Ten. Like they make about $50 million estimated annually, which is a great payout.
Pretty damn good to have your own channel.
That's great. But then the Big Ten, I mean, if you're on a full share in the Big Ten right now, what is it, 70 something million? $1 million, right? In the SEC, somewhere in that range, I believe.
So let me follow up and ask this real quick. Do they get any ACC rev share?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. How many schools?
Hold on. Yes, they do.
Okay, so you got to throw that in.
They get $17 million annually estimated.
So they're making $67 million, yes. And that's probably before sponsorship, by the way. So now you got probably another 10. How many institutions would ditch the media contract and conference they're currently in to have their own standalone cable
and their
television
own schedule,
network,
make your own schedule,
along with being able to dabble in other conference revenue and make basically the same, if not more.
The most Darren Revelle take of all time, too, because it is unique. You mentioned having the Lillard jersey with the BioFreeze. Not all places that sell jerseys have the patch on. Like, some places you buy the jersey and it just has the jersey. They don't sell it. But some places do sell it. Mm-hmm. And Revelle went on a rant about how he wants the corporate patch on there because if you don't have the corporate patch, it's not the authentic jersey. And isn't the point of buying a jersey buying the authentic jersey? And if it doesn't say SoFi on it and you bought a Notre Dame jersey, are you buying the authentic Notre Dame jersey?
Ridiculous.
It's like, dude, that is the nerdiest, douchiest take I have. Stuff him in a locker. Sometimes his content is good. That's just a ridiculous take. I love that rant by Doggy. Notre Dame is, I mean,
Were you surprised they sold the patch?
No, I'm not, because money's what matters in college athletics right now. It's like, it's the end, at the end of the day, all these places are thinking about is dollar
but
bills,
like, imagine,
man.
I mean, I guess you'd have to go to a similar, like, aged team of, like, the Yankees having a patch.
Yeah. Do they have a patch?
I'm pretty sure they don't.
Because baseball, you can have patches.
I know. Do the Red Sox and Yankees and Cubs have patches?
That's a great question. You know how little baseball I've watched this year.
I've seen their highlights. I've been seeing the highlights of all these teams. I haven't seen patches that I can remember.
Let me see.
How odd is that? Imagine a Yankee uniform with a patch?
That's the point of the Notre Dame thing of, like, this is the most iconic, one of the most iconic in the sport.
Baseballs are on the sleeves, though. So
Star Insurance is the patch for the Yankees.
Is it on the, so it's on the sleeve?
It's on the sleeve.
Yep.
So it's not, like, next to the NY logo or anything like
Nothing
that.
Nothing sacred anymore, dude.
Nothing anymore, dude.
No,
Red Sox.
The Dodgers have one on the sleeve.
That's another iconic jersey. Yeah. That would bother me, man.
Did they get one of the FBI that investigated Shohei Ohtani? Mass Mutual is the Boston Red Sox sleeve jersey.
God.
Yeah, nothing sacred anymore, man.
So Notre Dame got roughly 20 mil. Let's just call it, for argument's sake, 20 million. So they're making almost 80 in TV money.
Yes, 77.
They're
plus,
making almost 100 before
if
ticket
they make
sales
the college football
merch
playoff too. They don't split a
they get a full share.
They get a full share
of it.
The other conferences share it. So if they make the college football playoff, that's another $12 to $13 million annually.
So if you count tickets and merch plus what they make, they're making probably well over 120 plus million.
They are swimming in money right now. Life is good for Notre Dame. And they're allowed to do whatever they want. They don't even need to be in a conference. What a world.
SoFi.
What a world.
You associate SoFi with South Bend, Indiana?
Not in any way, shape, or form.
I'm thinking of, like, sex between Herbert and Beer. I'm thinking Harbaugh. I'm thinking Stafford. I'm thinking McVay.
This is when you know we're in synergy. That is a phenomenal transition. Are you ready for this one?
Always.
Are you ready for some marriage advice?
I'm always ready to be in transition.
You need anybody out there need to spice things up in your love life? You need a little marriage advice? What is the advice from somebody who gives great advice? Here you go.
Yeah, we thought that. You know, you started.
Did you ask him?
Yeah, we asked him that, and he said sometime this summer. He told us that, and
the Kay Adams reaction.
And then he told us, he didn't tell us exactly when he was doing it. You know, that was him. But then he told us.
Yeah.
He told us in the quarterback room. We all had a nice high five, and you know, hey, pull it down. So she said yes. So it's yeah, I'm a romantic.
Any love advice for Justin? What's the best marriage advice you've got?
To attack each day with an enthusiasm
unknown to mankind
together.
Who's got it better than us? and an enthusiasm unknown to mankind are two things I have loved from that man.
I watched a lot of that. Kay Adams was at Charger camp yesterday, and I was laughing my ass off, dude. Harbaugh is always entertaining.
She debatably has the best camp tour of any media member.
It's fantastic. She gets stuff,
goes to all the good ones.
And let's also be honest, she gets content that other people can't get. She gets guys to have a personality and an openness that other media members just cannot accomplish.
Because she's good at her job.
She's fantastic at her
job.
She
really is, though. Like, you can say, she's hot, and they feel comfortable. She asks great questions that gives us funny, great answers.
The biggest, funniest takeaway for me is how much the Harbaughs are the Mandelbaums from Seinfeld. Because their last name is so synonymous that when Jim was talking about his daughter, because they went on for like 10 minutes about this Madison Beer Justin Herbert engagement. And every time he referenced Madison Beer, he mentioned that his daughter, who is 15 years old, is a massive Madison Beer fan. And so she's all over this, like following Madison Beer around the sideline when she's at practice or games or whatever.
So she's going to be at the wedding.
Yes. Every time he mentioned his daughter, whose name is Katie, you know what he called her? Katie Harbaugh. You know, Katie Harbaugh, big fan. Katie Harbaugh, big Madison Beer fan. Katie Harbaugh, he used her full name like 7 or 8 times.
Her dad?
Her dad, Jim. You know, Katie Harbaugh, Katie Harbaugh, Katie Harbaugh. And I was just laughing of like, that is such a Harbaugh thing to use your last name every time you bring it.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody. Now, the follow-up is Taylor Swift had Dean Blandino at her wedding.
Ooh.
Is Kay Adams at Justin Herbert Madison Beer?
Ooh, based on that reaction.
Is it beer or beers?
Beer.
I'm thinking of Reagan Beers, then, aren't I? Oregon
yeah.
State.
There was a football player, too. Remember Rowdy Beers?
Rowdy Beers.
He's still playing. He was in that Mandel article I looked at yesterday with Ty Thompson in there. He's still playing college football. He's still around. There's good love advice. So if you're looking for ways to make sure your marriage stays solid, you attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind together.
Jim's definitely high-fiving his wife after sex.
Without a doubt. Great session. Way to go, babe.
Then drinking milk.
2%.
In tidy whities,
none of that
just
candy
sitting standing in the kitchen.
Let's replenish our fluids here, okay?
Dad? How about that?
Katie Harbaugh, go back to bed.
You think Jim Harbaugh has khaki boxer shorts?
No, I legitimately believe he's a whitey tidy man. But like
he
absolutely
is a whitey tidy guy.
Bigger whitey tidies that aren't form fitting.
Oh, they're a little droopy.
Slightly droopy, and he's just out there shirtless in his whitey tidies. milk.
There was a clip that happened or that was put out yesterday by the Chargers. And Seahawk fans are probably excited for them to be on Hard Knocks. Maybe you like the attention, maybe you don't. I don't know. But I always like getting like the behind-the-scenes look at my team. There was a clip of him and McDaniel running around yesterday at training camp that I just thought to myself, we are missing such a golden opportunity of that being Hard Knocks this year. Their interactions are so fascinating. You could not have a more yin and yang individuals from a personality standpoint than Harbaugh and McDaniel. And I wish that was the Hard Knocks this year because they're great. Last thing, by the way, because you pulled it, we didn't get to it in the cafe earlier. Here is Herbert on, hey, you know, a little bit of pressure this year.
There's always a sense of urgency. I think, you know, every year you're doing your best, working as hard as you can. And, you know, I think the guys are focused and dialed in this year. And, you know, I thought OTAs went great. Camp, I'm looking forward to all the work that we're going to put in. And, you know, I think guys are really excited about it.
One of the most boring quote mans that exists in all of professional sports, but there is Justin Herbert. Hey, did you guys know there's a little bit of pressure on them to win a playoff game this year? You aware of that?
My
answer to that would be, who the F cares?
I'm excited to see what the offense is going to look like with McDaniel. It's a pretty pivotal spot for him. They have to be good. If he is, he'll get another head coaching gig. If he's not, it's going to be a one-year thing.
Yeah.
And I think Harbaugh will move on because they're so oil and water. I still hate how they did not add...
another weapon.
A weapon.
Would have been nice.
A weapon that makes you at least feel like, ooh. Yeah, here we go.
Ooh. There's still one available. Isn't Stephon Diggs technically still available?
I mean, I'm not
if
a big
you want to dabble
Diggs
in those
guy,
waters,
but hey, he was fine with New England last year.
If they signed Stephon Diggs, would he be their best wide receiver?
No.
No. Ladd McConkey?
I still probably...
QJ?
Well, I mean... God, that feels weird to say no to that because my answer is Ladd McConkey.
Is Ladd McConkey their best wide receiver? Ladd McConkey's... He's a good wide receiver.
Was Edelman a one?
No. But he had
to win Super Bowl.
They did. So just go be the New England Patriots. There's your answer for the day. Go be the New England Patriots. You'll figure it out. There is a little bit of marriage advice from Jim Harbaugh.
By the way, poll question's up.
Okay, got the poll question up.
Do you hate corporate sponsors on sports jerseys? Yes, get off. No, get dat money.
Get dat dollar bills. Some more audio from Big Ten Media Days, and we'll do a little peekaboo for the day that is ahead of Big Ten Media Days. It's day three, the final day of Big Ten Media Days, kicking off here in a little bit. We'll dive back into some college football next on The Fam.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in, 828. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. We've got the Magic Hack coming up, top of the hour. Excited for that. Got some good audio in there.
Who do you feel the most satisfactory about telling no to in a sales-like situation? So, like, let's remove our opening segment conversation of the door-to-door
salesman. The door-to-door person is out the conversation.
No religion, no business, okay? Yeah. So let's remove that from the equation here. Who is it that you get bothered by or asked about a product that you actually enjoy doing the thanks no thanks?
That's a good question.
Because there's always an element of me when I joke about like the guys that want to clean your shoes for $30. Yeah. Like, I get it, dude. They're just out there trying to make a buck.
Sure.
It's not probably a lucrative business.
They're easy to ignore. I just walk by, head down.
One of the first ones, I don't
you
know
don't
if
even
this.
Say no thanks.
No.
One of the, this one probably, I don't know if this is number one. It's just one that's popping into my head right now. I usually get the truck serviced at a dealership when I get it serviced. And every time I'm there, if it ends up being a case where I hang out, there will inevitably be somebody.
Hey, can you
hey
do anything?
You want me to buy that truck from you? You want to buy a new truck, huh? Like, no. Wow. I'm okay, man. It still rides. It hasn't fallen apart, and I don't want an extra addition on my monthly payment. No, thank you. I don't know if that's number one, but I do get a nice feeling of like, dude, I'm just sitting here scrolling my phone. They're changing my oil. I'm going to be out of here in 45 minutes. Mm. I'm not buying a truck on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning.
You know, that's the dealership's a good one because I was at one yesterday, and my lease is coming up, so we got some information. What's the next step? What I want to do? And it turns, of course, into the full-on...
Oh, here we go.
Get y'all in this car off the lot tonight. Make your decision now, right? And the wife and I are like, we're not going
to
do that.
What's it going to take to get you to drive off the lot today in a new car?
And you always know when the guy behind the desk that you've never met, when he comes over, now it's time to close the
situation. Here comes the manager. They're going to give you a deal that nobody's ever seen before. And that deal's only here today because I'm in a good mood.
And he comes over, he says hi, and then he tells us this little spiel. And we'd have been there at this point now for 80 minutes. Minutes, almost an hour and a half, and it's 7 o'clock. We have not eaten dinner, and I'm sitting there, and
starving.
The wife knows I'm actually pretty bad. I will be very receptive to your spiel. I might even like feel the pressure of making that decision. I'm not actually very good in it. And the guy leans over, and my wife said nothing, stone cold, just looking at him. And she goes, he goes, all right, well, I've told him everything. How are you feeling? And she turns, looks at me, looks back at the guy, and goes, I'm starving. And I go, yeah, I think we're going to have to sit on this and we're going to go get some dinner. And he went, okay, nice to meet you. And he got right the hell out of there.
That is phenomenal. Round of applause for Mrs. Sprague.
And I told her, I was like, you got to save me. I'm bad in these moments. Have to save me.
Look at me. Look at me. Make in the eye. I'm hungry.
And we got
you think I'm going to buy a car while I'm hungry? You know what I am? I'm angry because I'm hungry.
No.
That is fantastic.
So I'm with you. The car dealership guy feels good to say no to, and I will also throw in it the repair guy. Like if you go to a standard Jiffy Lube for an oil change.
Yeah.
Your filter's looking a little dirty. And then they go through the laundry list to say, just the oil change.
You know, your turbo plugs here, they're going to need to be done pretty soon. Do you know what a turbo plug is? Let me tell you about those things, okay? How's your ball bearings looking in here?
Your wipers aren't wiping all the way. We got wipers.
That's one you can look at. If you can't do wipers at home on your own, that's a very easy YouTube one. Wipers are not very difficult to replace.
I'm not going
to
pretend that I haven't paid for the wipers.
I mean, we've all done it at times, but like if you're ever in a moment of like, damn, my wipers are ass and I need new ones, just order them and put them on yourself. It's very simple. You don't need to do it at a place like that. Multiple people, first three that came in, boom, boom, boom. And maybe I just don't get this very much, and I don't expect the Costco cell phone people.
Oh, see, I blow by
Costco cell phone.
That's right. I don't know.
I blow by
Costco
them.
Is more
they
like.
They try to sell cell phones at Costco now?
Barbecues, Traegers, yeah. or knives.
The Traegers are there.
I get the knives or the Traegers at my Costco, and I'd say immediate.
No, they very quickly, because I'm a, I know where I'm going when I go into Costco, and I also am a pull the cart behind me, not a push from behind.
Wait,
pull the cart behind you, guys.
Because I don't know what it is about the two Costcos I go to. There are more wanderers in there, and I'm like.
That's every Costco.
Yeah, it's a mass of humanity. Nobody's paying attention.
Don't. The one that gets me.
Costco's not quick. Don't.
Yeah, it can be quick. No, I know exactly where I'm going. I guess that's
Costco,
figured out.
Don't. Yes or no?
I'm going to go get a rotisserie chicken and get out of here. That's all I need.
Yeah, right. You're going to look at their plush pillows.
I'm going to buy some diamond earrings, too, while I'm here.
You're going to ask yourself, am I going to wear Costco pants tomorrow?
Do I need a new 74-inch TV? Because, God, I might need a new 74-inch TV.
Are those K-Sig golf balls $4 off right now? I got to check.
Basically Pro V1s.
I mean, I play them all the time. I love them.
But the ones that drive me the most nuts are the ones that you scan your little card now to go in, and they take about 10 steps, and it's still, you're by the TVs and then all the specials right there, and then they have to stop and, like, take inventory for some reason.
I agree with that. Totally fair point. That definitely happens.
Go in and find somewhere to pull off.
You can't put an 85-inch 4K flat screen right when I walk in, and it has a butterfly flying in the Amazon.
Swag is right here. Have a game plan. You're going to Costco, have a game plan.
There's side rows to go down with the TVs and the stereo.
This is not ad-libbing. This is not jazz. We have sheet music. Follow the sheet music.
Exactly.
I'm going to disagree.
We're not free. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop.
Let me chime in
here. You got your list, you got your plan, you get into Costco, you get the job done.
I understand you go down in the Christmas section and the stand-up paddle boards and
the
gazebos
and the Pac-Man, the saunas.
The summer furniture is gone. Whatever you want. Yeah. The Blackstones down there. You can get lost down there a little bit, but that's well into the belly of Costco.
You don't want the TV watcher.
The one right there, 10 steps after you get in.
That definitely happens.
And you're trying to, like, all right, I'm here. I need to get back to, the grocery section. I need some paper products in bulk.
They're just standing there taking their list out of their purse. Yeah, like, get out of
the
way.
Ones where the whole family comes in and there's six of them and they're all wide rather than in a single file. It's like, what is this, NASCAR? You the damn pace car? Sorry.
I'm a little worried we're going to keep going with this topic because you're venturing into some dangerous territory. I'll say this. I don't disagree with your feeling. I will disagree with this idea that you think everybody has a grandmaster plan of Costco execution. I have a theory that it's as packed as it is, not just for the savings, not just for the samples, but because for a lot of people, sadly, it's something to do. And they're in there to go, do I like pants today? Do I want a sweatshirt? What about batteries? What about a smoke detector?
If I ever get to that point in life, just take me out back.
You've never just gone to a Costco?
Never in a million years.
No.
Knowing you need one item and saying, I'm going
to... I won't go to Costco if I need one item.
Oh.
I'll wait to buy that one item until I need more than one item, and then I'll go get it at Costco.
I've gone to Costco knowing I need almond milk and eggs, and I've been in there for 40 minutes.
See, now here's the follow-up.
Because I perused.
I get the point. Why do you go to there for the almond milk and the eggs? Just because of the bulk?
Yeah.
You need that many eggs?
Well, we're big egg family.
I get it. You like your eggs?
The Wilcox free range.
Yeah. They eggs. Got good egg there, good quality egg there.
Great quality
Love
egg.
Love the Costco egg.
That yolk is dark orange. It is a great healthy bird. I'm getting that egg. And if I've learned anything from Harbaugh, you don't trust a nervous bird.
No.
So if your yolks are not dark orange, you had a nervous bird egg. And I ain't in on that. So they got good eggs.
Yeah.
I usually need to get the three items. Once I get the three items, then I'm like, okay.
I can make a run to Costco.
Boom, boom, boom. I know where I'm going.
I don't think I've ever bought fewer than 10 things at Costco.
See, I've gone in for two or three. I've never gone in for one, but it's usually three or four. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm in that.
I'm buzzing, three, four, here. Yeah.
What's crazy
we're out of toilet paper. I need hamburger.
That makes sense,
The family Swag's talking about and their cart, their kid, there's so much stuff in their cart. The kids are now walking.
They were in the cart, now they're out of the cart.
And the cart is a foot above the top of the cart.
Like, this thing's gonna fall over.
Where are you storing your food?
Yeah, don't get behind that person in line. That's going to take 45 minutes.
How many fridges do you have? Yeah. How fat are you when you eat to need this much food at this time? I can tell when people have restaurants and businesses when they're purchasing.
Well, they're usually got the flatbeds.
Exactly. It's the carts with like three kids, and I'm like looking at the amount of items, and
It's a lot going on.
There.
It's a lot going on there, man.
What do you do? How many
like
things?
Four
are you
boxes
freezing?
Of Otter Pops.
It's crazy.
How many freezers do you have, man?
It's like four boxes of cereal that have two bags in them each. I'm like,
that's my biggest problem with Costco. This. Is one, we got a small house. There's not a lot of storage space, but also I don't need that much of that food usually. Like that's the hard part about Costco. There's certainly great. Arguments to be made of buying certain things in bulk that I can handle. But for the most part, it's like if I get a thing of peanut, I don't need seven peanut butters, man.
It's usually fresh things. It's you know, meat.
Meat and seafood, without a doubt, always a great argument.
Certain vegetables.
Well, I need
that
toilet
we go
paper
through.
Today.
Toilet paper, towels.
You're going to buy in bulk. I totally get that.
That makes sense.
But a lot of the food items, I'm just like, I don't need 14 bags of Cheerios, man. That's too many Cheerios.
Yeah.
It's going to take me a year and a half to get through this.
I'm with you on that.
That's too much going on.
I still think swag's being a little too much. People don't have game plans for Costco, but I also hear your frustration. It's get out of the way.
You should have a plan would be my argument, and people just, and this is just a more societal rant. You just need to be aware, and we have a problem with people not being
spatial
aware.
Awareness is bad.
Of who's around you, where are you standing, where did you stop? If you want to stop and take inventory and get your list out, just move over to the side.
Go to a side
just
aisle.
Slide on
a lot
over.
Of these people would be bad in an NFL pocket. They
They'd be horrible.
No presence.
No
in
presence
spatial
or awareness.
Getting blindsided the entire game.
Not even close.
Last one here, and then we'll go on to some college football stuff in a moment. Does it tell you that the jerseys are bad if they send the star player out to defend them?
And stop hating on the jerseys, guys. I don't know if you guys are hating. I don't know. I don't see anything, but they're great. I honestly like speaking of new, right? It's a new look. It is. I understand that, but we gotta be new, and I think these jerseys kind of are symbolic of that. And I'm excited to wear them. I really we had a lot of people that put in a lot of hard work for these jerseys, and
what really
it symbolizes a lot of newness, and that I am excited about.
Do you like it better than last year's all white? I thought
we didn't win in the all white, so absolutely.
If you send the star quarterback out to defend your new jerseys, does that mean your jerseys are ass?
Yeah. I mean, the reaction was so loud.
He had to choke that one down.
The bill
that didn't go down smoothly.
He had to do what?
Weird phrasing there. What I would say, so yesterday this gal just offhandedly says, I'd love to be the person that makes the colors for Toyota.
Like, huh?
What? Because like the names of these colors these cars have now.
Oh, dude, colors are ridiculous.
Tundari. Yeah. Like, what's Tundari?
All of it's just made up.
No. It's all made up, right?
It's a shade of green is what it is.
No offense. The people that went in and made hard work to make that jersey.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Let's go all dark gray.
It's never been done before.
Done.
With red numbers.
I got a tee time. Done.
And a weird horn on the back, not on the side of the jersey. All right. Done deal. Our work here is done. Josh Allen out defending the new Buffalo Bills jerseys.
Pulling your cart versus pushing. That's a
bold move, Cotton.
I've done it. I've done it, but I'm more consistent. The Costco carts I'm finding, by the way, more and more, and maybe this is my clothes, I'm getting shocked. I get electric shock.
Expired.
You ever have that?
Yeah.
Like when you go on a slide back in the day and you get shocked by it?
Yeah.
I've been having that on the Costco cart.
Ooh.
That is.
I don't know.
I like a good shock.
They should be grounded.
It makes me feel alive.
The little wheels are rubber or something.
I mean, maybe I'm just electric.
You're just on fire over
there, dude. I'm just,
You got a current going through you.
You're damn right I do.
You choke one of those down?
I don't need no blue pill.
Talk about the enthusiasm of one place. Are we doing it a little too soon? We'll get to that next. 105.1 FM The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the hype and the optimism around one individual, how about a little update out of the National Football League? Coming out this morning on SportsCenter, they got a one-on-one interview with the one and only Baker Mayfield. This is Jeremy Fowler at ESPN.
Oh.
And he said that Baker Mayfield told him the Bucs offered him a 2-year deal, which is probably the most disappointing. He wants a long-term commitment from them. He also added that they are pretty far away from the $50 million a year club, which he wants to enter.
So he wants them.
This is over. This is the last year that Baker Mayfield will be playing in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and
look, he says he feels disrespected.
I think he's totally fair to feel that way, because once Brady left, I don't think anybody had any hope about what Tampa was. But
no, he kind of revitalized things for them. I mean, that was a scrap heap. See what we got here, and he ended up being really good for him.
Riddle me this, Batman.
What do you got?
What team, assuming he stays healthy and has what he's basically been doing in Tampa?
28 touchdowns, 10 picks, 3,000 yards.
What team picks him up? Because I will actually defend Tampa here. I said it yesterday, I say it again. This is about what I would be doing. A 2-year, $40 million a year.
So this would be a
contract.
Year from now. Can I throw some teams at you, some candidates at you?
Oh, yeah, this is definitely a peekaboo. And, hey, certain situations didn't work out.
Aaron Rodgers last year in Pittsburgh?
Very good one.
They don't have a young – I mean, well, they do, but I don't know if they like their young quarterback.
Will Howard.
let's say middle school-looking C.J. Stroud has another butt year for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Philly?
I have a hard time seeing Philly. I think Hurts has to have a real disaster class-like year.
That's fair. Outside of that, I mean, unless you're going to a bad team, which I don't know he would want to do, but maybe the payday is all that matters to him. Like, Miami might want a quarterback.
Arizona
might want a quarterback.
One.
Like, if that's where you want to go.
Miami and Arizona teams are probably going to be in positions to draft if we're betting.
Tend to agree with you. So outside of that, I mean, Indy, what's the Daniel Jones contract situation again? Did they give him an extension? Do you remember that off the top of your head?
I think they did.
Did they give him a long-term deal?
Yeah,
or at least
my memory serves. I thought that they'd signed an extension with him.
He signed a 2-year, $88 million extension. You are correct.
I think we were surprised because he had just popped his Achilles.
He looked so good early in the year, and then he popped the Achilles.
Well, is there any chance of a reunion in the ATL Shouty?
I don't know what the relationship is. It did not seem like it ended very well.
Like they were on bad terms.
He seems like the kind of guy that's going to hold a grudge like that and take it seriously.
Yeah, but also, it's sports, dude. Yeah, it's about who's going to give me my shot.
The one that makes the most sense to me that I would actually root for, because there's like a fit there. There's a toughness and a grittiness, to use dumb cliches. Pittsburgh is the one that I would root for. Him back in the same division as the team that dumped him in Cleveland originally.
Yeah.
They have talent. They have good wide receivers. Like, there's pieces to work with there. Now, do you want to pay him $50 million if you're Pittsburgh? I don't know what the answer to that question is. But of all the teams that he could go to a year from now, Pittsburgh would be the one that I would root for the most.
That's Cincinnati.
They trade Joe Burrow.
I don't know if they want to, but
where's that Joe Burrow go with?
Season don't go well. Is Joe Burrow just going to keep rolling it over?
Talk about what it would take to get Joe Burrow in a trade. Oh, my God. Every draft pick in the future of your franchise for the rest of existence. A lot of momentum around this guy, and he made his debut at Big Ten Media Days yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to play the audio, and then we'll talk about it on the other side. Lot of buzz on Bob Chesney. By the way, good-looking cat, man. Good looking, clean cut, tan. Just he was looking fresh yesterday at Big Ten Media Days.
He was very impressive at James Madison, taking over for an absolute legend.
I want to ask how much of this has to do with how much of the optimism around Bob Chesney at UCLA has to do with what Kurt Cignetti did. Before we answer that, here is Chesney on Everything Is Aligned in Los Angeles.
You know, when I got to my initial press conference, a big part of it was we talked about having to re-engage this community, how to re-engage these high school coaches, how to make sure that we opened up to our alumni, how to make sure that we allowed the press, the local press, into practices. You know, and every one of the things along the way that we talked about doing in that press conference up to this point in time, we have lived out. And I'd also like to say that as within the administration here at UCLA, you know, just the commitment that they said they would have to this program, they've also lived out. And when you put those two things together, one of the words and things that I think lead to the most amount of success is this word alignment. And when you have that within your athletic department from the chancellor all the way down, you know, you have a chance to be really good. And I believe that that is what is going to happen here in our very near future. But to do that and to do what you said you were going to do also develops trust and builds trust. And that's really important that we're able to do that, you know, in the short period of time we've been together.
It is unique because there is a ton of momentum and buzz around this cat. And you hear answers, you watch his press conferences, and you're like, man, I get it. He's sharp. He's well-spoken. He had great success at James Madison. It was a thought in the back of my head where they might be aligned. I gave you the story yesterday about all the dollars that are flowing in the offseason. It was a 40-something million dollars, which is, you know, an 80% increase at what it had been over the last couple of years. There is a lot of buzz that here comes UCLA, and I just was thinking how much of that has to do with, whether it's fair or not, to Chesney, what Kurt Cignetti did from James Madison. Not that you're expecting Chesney to win a title in 2 years at UCLA. If he wins a title, and by the way, in 2 years at UCLA, I will fully acknowledge that the model of recruiting and going through lumps and star rankings, that it is completely broken. For now, Cignetti's the outlier. If Chesney does it in 2 years at UCLA, go hire the next James Madison coach or something in the water down there.
Well, yeah, credit to them if he ends up hitting, right?
Dude,
like, holy crap.
Oh, my God. Go hire that. I want to fire Dan Lanning and go hire whoever James Madison coaches at that point. How much of it for you, if you're in on Chesney, has to do with Cignetti and the place he came from?
To say nothing would be, I think, dishonest. I think it's an element of, like, what did we say about DeBoer taking over at Alabama? You never want to be the guy to replace
Tough
the legend.
To fill those shoes.
You want to be the guy after the guy. You could make the very same case at even a JMU. You can say, well, who cares about JMU? Well, JMU fans cared about JMU, and so did the administration. And they didn't want to go from what Cignetti had established to, oh, suddenly we're completely relevant on our level. He came in there and he took them to the playoff. And, you know, I think Oregon had slight foot on the gas, but didn't really care because knew they'd win and he had bigger fish to fry.
It's a pretty irrelevant game, yeah.
But they still came in there and played pretty well.
They absolutely did.
Overperformed expectation, and some Duck fans are freaking out about it and maybe felt vindicated by the Indiana game. I don't know, but
yeah.
I think a combination of that stuff, plus the age, the prowess, the recruiting ability, saying that you're in on Chesney and UCLA and that being a good hire, felt like a good opinion to have about 3 weeks ago, and now everybody seemingly in the sport.
That's my fear of, like, it seems like it's too hot right now. I want to back away from the table. By the way, you would guess how old Bob Chesney is?
By the look of him, I would say he's 38.
38, Swag?
I want to say he's actually closer to 50.
He's 48 years old.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's kind of a surprise.
Looks great.
Because I just said he's younger, and then I was like, how old is he? And I Googled him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh,
well, I
48.
Saw him yesterday. I watched the speech.
He looks like he's 32. Looking great for his age.
He sounds like he's 32. Yeah. He's acting like he's 32.
Right.
He coached for 20 years at UCLA.
Like, to your point, I just pulled up the UCLA page because I wanted to remember their first game, and I'm going to bring that up in a second. But the first video that pops up is Roddy Jones, bet against UCLA at your own peril. I'm not going to. It's just everything I'm reading is like, this guy's going to save UCLA football. He might. Just a thought I had yesterday. Their opening game, dare I throw at you, kind of a fun Pac-12 after dark, RIP.
Cal.
They open at Cal.
I know. I'm
That's
excited
kind of,
about
like,
that.
Under the rate, like
I don't
UCLA
know what
LaPoy
is going to be.
LaPoy, you got the quarterback back at UCLA.
Jaron, whatever.
And a Cal. Yep. Like, sign me up,
well,
dude.
Nico is the underrated element of this. And I heard him say basically Chesney and who he is and what he's about made this a no-brain decision to not even look.
Yeah.
Huge thing to have at your arsenal is the new coach of a program you're trying to turn around as a coach, or as a quarterback of that talent. I don't know what his upper ceiling is, but we know he is a playoff-worthy type quarterback.
Yes, he is.
You just got to tap into the right stuff. How nervous is Lincoln Riley?
He shouldn't be. You're at USC. But, yeah, if you start grabbing L.A. kids and you start out-recruiting them a little bit, I don't know if that's – I think their class right now – their classes are somewhat similar for 2027. So I don't know where they'll both end
up. They're kind of throwing some money around at UCLA, so the portal's going
to – To your point, UCLA has seemingly been irrelevant his entire tenure at USC. They haven't even beaten UCLA every time they played him. I think Chip might have got him one time, if I'm not wrong, early in his tenure.
I do remember a year it was disappointing.
I think Chip randomly, like maybe with DTR, he beat him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like that's a thing that USC has benefited from for a long time. They have been dormant, UCLA has. Maybe Bob Chesney wakes them up. A lot of noise down in Westwood right now. Let's get to the Magic Hat. That's where we start the final hour next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.